or boxing politics and putting it in a back pocket?
I really don't know, but it is something I have noticed, particularly when people are very disdainful, say, moi, la politique, jamais, quelle horreur, you know, how awful, I don't want it. You get to a conversation, you discover it's always someone very conservative.
One other question then, because you do mention your background as a journalist, to what extent would you agree with the statement that all fiction is really a form of reporting?
To me, yes. But other writers would tell you something completely different. Right. To me, it is reporting. It's reporting on people. It's reporting on what you see when you look out the window, except that you should know a little bit more if you're a writer, the probabilities of what are happening. But there is a difference. As a journalist, you have no right to say what somebody was thinking. I absolutely disapprove of that. But in fiction, you have the right, and isn't it lovely? You can put yourself in someone else's place, but it's reporting.
You've been listening to an interview with the late Mavis Gallant, who died at the age of 91 in February 2014. New York Review Books Classics has published several volumes of her stories, most notably the collected stories, which feature 52 examples of her best work, and Paris Stories, curated by Michael Ondaatje. Across the Bridge is available in an ebook edition from Amazon. My co-host for the interview was Richard A. Lupoff, and I'm Richard Walensky on Bookwaves. This interview was digitized, remastered, and edited in August 2020. Bookwaves is produced by Richard Walensky under the auspices of KPFA Pacifica Radio in Northern California.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
To kick off Pride Month and celebrate Portland's LGBTQ+ community, KBOO will be hosting Queer Joy Fest on Friday, June 6th from 6 to 10 p.m. at the Foster Food Carts. There will be live music, vendors, food and drinks, and more. More information at kboo.fm/queerjoyfest.
Only you can to make all this world seem right. Only you can to make the darkness bright. Only you and you.
morning and welcome to Black Book Talk, Portland, and to our knowledge, Oregon's only regularly scheduled program devoted to books by and about Black people. I'm Patricia Welch, and here with me are Emma Jackson Ford, co-host, and our guest for the day, Catherine Morgan, proprietor of Grand Gestures Book Store. However, before we talk to Catherine, we have to remind you that we are now in the middle of KBOO's Camp KBOO Summer Membership Drive, focusing on building community and making KBOO summer memories. KBOO is commercial-free, volunteer-powered radio made possible by people like you. Please help us reach our fundraising goal of $50,000 by going to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 4431. Of course, we will repeat this before the show is over. And now, welcome Catherine Morgan.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. For those of you who don't know, and pass the word soon, is okay, Catherine is the proprietor of Grand Gestures Bookstore. She does a lot of other things, and we're going to mention that too. But Catherine, tell us about your wonderful bookstore.
Yes. So Grand Gesture Books is Oregon's first romance bookstore. It is the first Black romance bookstore in Oregon as well. And we have been opened since we started online in November 2023. And we just opened our brick and mortar about 7 months ago. And so we were recently also voted Portland's number one bookstore by readers. So all it's right. Been an exciting year, to say the least.
Whoa, that is exciting. I was so happy when you announced you were opening a bookstore downtown. How did this all come about? Where did the idea come from?
Yes, so I worked at Powell's Books for about 5 years or so, and I started reading romance in 2019. It was around the time I started reading Jasmine Guillory's The Wedding Date series. And when I came back after Powell's had laid us off because of the pandemic, when I came back, I was put in charge of running the romance section. And by this time, I had already started reading a lot of romance, but now was like the time that they understood that romance was booming as a section. And so we had ended up having to move it from the coffee shop to the like blue room at the time. And I just started realizing that like romance bookstores are becoming a really big thing, just to have like a dedicated space for romance. And then I noticed that like none of the stores, there was like the Rip Bodice in California and Meet Cute, also in California, but there was nothing in the PNW at that time that was that I had known about. And so I sooner or later discovered that there was like two in Washington at the time, but I discovered there was nothing in Portland. And so I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like someone should start something in Portland. And my friends were kind of asking me, like, they were like, well, you should start it. And I was like, oh, you know, in my mind, I wasn't going to be just a romance store. Like I was like, if I was going to open a bookstore, it'd be a generalist store. And then I was like, oh, I actually don't want to talk to people's dads about World War II. And so I started thinking, okay, if I had a romance bookstore, what would it look like? How would it fit? And then I just kind of went from there.
So to be clear, you only sell romance books in your bookstore?
We sell, because I don't personally read only romance. And so we sell, I would say, 90% romance titles and then about 5% of other things. Like we sell a lot of like essay collections, a lot of poetry, nonfiction, things like that, just because I personally feel like any book that serves as a text to maybe see about improving your life in some way deserves to be shelved. And so everything in the store is kind of geared towards that, whether the relationship is with you personally, like within yourself or your friend group or, you know, an actual romantic love, anything like that has a spot in our store. but they are shelved differently. So one side of the room is entirely romance, and the other side has some other particular sections, like the nonfiction. And we also have a section for PNW authors as well that has become very popular.
You are in a prime location. Give people your address and tell them, I mean, I just can't think of a better place for a bookstore to be.
So we are located at 814 Southwest 10th Avenue, which is directly across the street from the Central Library downtown.
Yes. And I know, even though I didn't work at Central, I went to a lot of meetings there, and I know folks from Central, if they're on a break or something, the meeting's over, they go across the street.
Yep,
a lot of things across the street. There used to be, I'm assuming it still is, a Goodwill store that was a magnet, but restaurants. So, I mean, you have a built-in audience, I hope, of library employees, and then just all the other folks who are downtown. Was it difficult to get this location?
Surprisingly not. So we weren't looking downtown because we had my broker and I kind of had some preconceived notations about downtown area. And I had talked to fellow business owners, and, you know, just things that like had changed since the pandemic happened. And so we were actually looking like northeast area first. And then we had put out feelers for a few different areas and a few different buildings, and none of them felt quite right. Like, they all were things that I would drastically have to improve. And I would put in the offer, something would happen, and it would just not work out. But with this one, my broker reached out to me, and she was like, hey, I have a lead on a place. She's like, I know it's downtown, but I think that this would be a really good space. Like, just let's look at it. She's like, the person's willing to make a generous offer, or like to understand that. And I was like, oh, great, because books are expensive. And I was like, a generous donate, like, I would love a discount on something. And so we ended up walking in to the space, and mind you, it was like boarded up. There were many spiders that were running around. But I like walked into the space, and I immediately knew that that was the space. I felt it in my gut. And I remember being like, oh man, because now I knew I had to get this space. And the nice thing too was the owner of the building, the landlord, she was very excited about it being a romance bookstore, which I've been talking to a few of my friends who have been looking for spaces in different cities. And sometimes that can get messy. Like, a lot of people don't always want a romance bookstore in their space for various reasons. And so for her to be excited about it and to offer us a reasonable like lease term, like, you know, our rent's really good, and for her to offer that and to work with me being someone who, you know, didn't have the financial means to open a store straight out was really great. And it's been a really wonderful space. Like, my neighbors are really wonderful. The neighborhood has really shown out. The library people, they come in very often, and they actually, when we won number one bookstore, they actually came across the street and like brought us cupcakes from St. Cupcakes.
Yeah, as library people.
Because I had, for National Library Week, I had given them an additional discount. I also brought them cupcakes because I was like, I love the library. Like, let's support it. And so we have a thing where we just kind of pass cupcakes back and forth.
Nice. So have you had any book readings or author readings or book signings at the shop yet?
We have had many, or at least what feels like to me many. The nice thing is that we actually work a lot with Portland Center Stage for our bigger readings, because our space fits about at most like 40 people. And so for anything over that, I typically have to go to like Lincoln High School. We did an event with them. Or Portland Center Stage. But we now, because I felt also one of the reasons why I wanted to open the store was because I felt like a lot of authors were skipping the PNW because they would either go to Seattle or they wouldn't come at all. And it was mainly because they didn't have a central spot to host them. Like, you know, a lot of bookstores can still have perceived connotations about romance as a genre, so they sometimes don't put the effort to actually host authors. And so now we're getting to the space where, you know, we hosted Jasmine Guillory earlier. That was in April. We just hosted Kennedy Ryan, which was huge. It was her first time in Portland. And we sold out of that event. We sold out of Jasmine's event. We've had local authors come through. We've had quite a few. Like, our event calendar, like, people are constantly telling me how impressed they are with the event calendar, because it's authors who are well known, who have maybe never really come to Portland, or maybe come to Portland like a few years back. It's authors who are like debuts. It's authors who are, you know, self-published. And so our event calendar, we typically book our events out 2 to 3 months in advance because things start getting really full. And, you know, even last week we had an author who reached out, her publicist did, and that event is scheduled for October. And in my mind, I'm like, oh, in October, I'll be a different person. Like, that's Halloween. That's a whole different, that's two different seasons from now. But it's been really great because we have been able to host so many incredible authors that are just genuinely excited about coming to Portland and meeting a whole new market of readers, because you don't know how well your book is doing. You may not have those numbers, but like, if people are coming to your events, or, you know, people are excited about it, then authors, you know, they get so incredibly overjoyed from that. And so, yeah, we've been hosting a ton of events.
Okay, I'm not a big romance reader, so could you give me some recommendations in terms of just authors to look out for, or books that, you know, are seminal reading for the romance lover?
Yeah, so I always do, like, if just, especially if you're someone who is just getting into the genre, for me, it's like Jasmine Guillory was my main person. Like, I've seen Jasmine alone this time like 4 times this year, because I saw her at my store. I just came back from Atlanta yesterday because there's a Black Romance Book Festival that happened. That was so fun. Oh my God, such a great time. But I would start with her because she just has like a fun, lighthearted way of writing. And like, if you want like a beautiful emotional gut punch, then I would say Kennedy Ryan's perfect for that. My favorite book of hers is Before I Let Go, but she has a wide range of titles as well. And, you know, I just met Frederick Smith. He's a Black romance gay writer. And that, like, meeting him, I've met him now twice too, because I went to multiple conventions the past 2 weeks. But his work is incredible as well. And so, like, getting to even have these authors, like, you know, have their work in my store is really important to me, because, you know, like, as a Black woman, I want to make sure that, you know, romance is still it feels predominantly white as a genre. And I, you know, even going after this weekend, I realized that I want to make even more of an impact on having Black authors and Black romances and Black titles in my store, because I don't want it to be a thing where you don't feel seen in some way in my store. Like, you may not feel 100% seen sometimes, because not every book can reach every single demographic, but I really want to make sure that if you come into my store, you feel represented in some way. And so we recently created a BIPOC section as well that has been very popular, and people have been very excited about going and like looking in that section and seeing who's writing. Like, because that section shelves, like, it shelves the fantasy section, it shelves nonfiction, like, anyone who is BIPOC is in that section. And so it's been really nice to like have people stand there and look, and I walk over and I'm like, do you need any recommendations? And people are so excited to give recs. Like, I love being a bookseller. Like, talking about books is one of my favorite things in the world, and getting to do this and like bring people to the store has been really great. We actually just had a customer who was I wasn't here for this, but my employee was, but she apparently is in her 90s, and she just bought her first romance, and she bought it because her kids were reading them. I mean, her grandkids, and they were like, these are fun. And she was like, okay, I want to bond with them, so I'll like buy a romance. But it was like her first romance ever. And we get such a nice demographic. We get men in the store who are buying their first romance. We get, you know, people of various experiences, because the nice thing, but like, so the hard thing is that romance is such a personal genre, and people come into it wanting to feel something or like answer some questions about something. So like we get customers who tell us things where like they're really personal details, because we have to ask about like content warnings, and we have to ask about like what it is that you're seeking, or if you have any, you know, various things that you don't want to read about. And so the store can get really personal, and that's why I especially want to make it a safe space for whoever decides to embark on a journey in romance.
You said your store holds about 40 people. Have a table and chair area or a lounge area where people would have time to sit and read or have coffee?
Yeah, so we actually are located right next to Case Study, a local coffee chain as well, and they're really wonderful. And so we have, it's actually now our Instagrammable spot, because we have these two pink velvet chairs. And my friend Nicole from Powell, she did a mural in the on the wall as soon as you walk into the store. And it says Fall in Love in Portland and has the St. John's Bridge. We'll see people taking selfies there. There's chairs there. It's like a little coffee table as well, so that people sit down. They can read and like check out things as well. And so that's our main spot. We also have what I call like the boyfriend chair, which is like a chair that's like on the opposite side of the store. That's just like a single chair. And like most men will just somehow find their way over there and sit while their like partners are browsing. And then, so those are our two main chairs right now, but it's definitely a space where people can come and like hang out and read. It's, I always have to be like, it's still a business. So like, you know, you don't live there, but like, you're welcome to like, you know, hang out for a little bit. And as long as you're okay with like me talking loudly in the store and listening to music at a higher than should be volume.
You know, and I think I mentioned this to you in a prior conversation. I think opening any business is an act of great courage. And if it was any place other than Portland, I would say a bookstore, but I do know that Portland is just a book loving town. But I also know that just making things happen and doing what needs to be done seems to be your way, because you are the coordinator, the founder of Well-Read Black Girls in Portland. And I want you to tell us something about that, because that's also very important. And people need to know that that's another outlet to discuss all kinds of books, but certainly romance novels too.
Yeah, so that, the Well-Read Black Girl was founded by Gloria Edom. And in 2019, they partnered with the American Bookseller Association. And I kind of was like, oh, okay, cool, great. I asked Powell's, I was like, we should have this. Like, this would be so great. Like, Black women would have a really great time. And at that time, I was one of a handful of Black women working there. And I think I was really the one who was the most vocal about things in general, because I'm a vocal person about things.
And that's so, very true.
Yeah. And then, so they were like, okay, great, you can run it. And I was like, oh, wait, what? And so, we met in 2019 for the first time. It was July 2019. And our first book was The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, which was my first Toni Morrison I've ever read. And it's been 6 years. We went virtual during the pandemic, and then we actually kind of kept virtual because everyone kind of liked it better. But it's just like the most, we read books by Black women. February is always our romance month, which everyone, you know, can be like, people are either like, yay, or they're like, but I'm like, we're reading it. And so, but it's just like one of the greatest things I've ever gotten to be a part of. Like, getting to know Black women in Portland has been a highlight. Like, you know, so many of the people in the group have become some of my closest friends. And it's just like, no matter how bad my day is, knowing that I get to see the people in that group has been a huge highlight and a huge wonderful thing that I've done. And it's just, it's so fun. We meet once a month. It's virtual. It's always the second Wednesday of every month. And, you know, every July we get together in person to do a fun activity, usually like a brunch, because we love eating. And we just love celebrating Black women and literature, and like we frame it as a way that like Black women and if non-binary people want to join, they have to be okay in a space that centers women. But predominantly, it is for Black women.
If somebody is interested in joining the group, what should they do? How can they reach them?
So they can reach me at my email is Catherine D. Morgan, D as in delightful, Morgan at gmail.com. And just, and then you just have to put in the subtext, like, or the title, subject title, just say, like, well-read Black girl information. And then I could send them the links and everything and show them all the information.
I will say, as a member of Well-Read Black Girls, that it is so much more than just a reading group. I have been in Portland a long time before you came to town, before the book club came to town. But what fascinated me is that there were so many young women who were coming from so many different places and trying to find their place and find home, you know, in Portland. And that for many of them, the book club became that home, a safe place where you could just come and be totally candid, talk about everything. As a senior member of the group, I have sometimes been surprised at some of the things that have been discussed. But as somebody who also wants to understand the various generations that have come behind, it's been eye-opening, it's been fun. I think it's good that it's multi-generational so that we can each share our perspectives. But I mean, you've just done a really great thing with that, and I thank you for that, because I just think that you've given some joy to a lot of people through that book club.
Have book clubs been having any meetings in the bookstore?
Yes, we have 5 book clubs. I am chaotic and decided to run 3 of them. And so we meet at various times during the month, always the same time usually, unless it's a busy month for us. We have one for historical romance. My employee, Devin, she's the assistant manager of the store. She runs that one. We have one for BIPOC authors and readers. You don't have to be BIPOC to join that one, but you just have to recognize that that is a space for people of color. We have one that focuses on contemporary authors, which are just books that take place in modern day times. We have a fantasy one that's been very popular. And then we also have an LGBTQ one that's also very popular. And so we run typically the 5 every month at the store. They range in size. A lot of people have come to like multiple book clubs. It's a very flexible space. So you don't have to come to every meeting if you don't want to. You don't always have to read the book. Lord knows I don't, just because, you know, running a business and trying to have a life is very tiring. But it's also a way to just like engage with people and think about ways that romance affects all of us in various ways. But yeah, it's, you can go online. We have it in our, we don't have a formal website yet, but we have like our Instagram and we have a link tree that has a sign up for like the monthly book clubs as well. And yeah, they're just a lot of fun. I always have a great time hosting them. I personally host the LGBT one, the BIPOC one, and then I host a contemporary one as well.
You know, we're coming to the close of the program today. For one thing, because we need to reach out to our audience once again. I will turn that over to Emma. But is there any last word that you'd like to share with us, Catherine?
Yeah. So one of the big things that's happening, it happened last year, but Portland Book Week is coming up. And I am a part of it. So starting June 6th, you can come by our store. You can get a stamp. We actually can stamp quite a few sheets, quite a few squares on that stamp. Each store counts for one stamp, though, so choose wisely. But, of course, we can be your genre bookstore stamp as well. But it's just a fun time. I did it when I was partnering with Bishop and Wild in their space as a pop-up last year. And so it's going to be really fun being able to host it this time in my own space. So come by and see us.
Looking forward to it.
Yes.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you for being our wonderful guest this month. We hope you enjoyed this program. If so, please show your support for Black Book Talk and all your favorite KBOO programs by making a one-time or a sustaining donation to Camp KBOO's Summer Membership Drive. Help us reach our $50,000 goal by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. We'll be back next month with author Brendan Slocum to discuss his latest mystery, The Dark Maestro.
And to fill my heart with love for only you, only you, can to make others change in me. Destiny, when you hold my hand, I understand the magic that you do. You're my dream come true, my one and only you.
KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy jueves 5 de junio del 2025. Rusia y Ucrania mantienen conversaciones en Estambul.